Talking base perk dollar prosecutor dollar. We were discussing how Elisha would come and eat by this Isha Shunamis every time he would pass by her, and he would have a meal, and she made him a little room. But then he approached her and he asked her, "Is there anything I could do for you to return the favor for you preparing the food for me?" And she says, "No, I don't need anything, right? I'm all set." So now, at this point, Elisha knows that she really does need something. She might be hiding it, but she really does need something. So Pasuk Dalet continues, "Vayomer ume lo asis lo, vayomer Gehazi aval ben ein lo v'isha zake." So Elisha, at this point, turns to his guy, Gehazi. And he asks him, after the woman left already, he asks Gehazi, what does she really need, right? Between me and you, I know she needs something, right? What does she need? So Gehazi says, she needs a son. And the problem is that she is barren, she's an ikara, right? She's not fit to have children. And there's another problem also. Her husband is old, and he's not fit to have children either. So we've got a twofold, right? Two problems. But she obviously really wants a son.
Suppose it means she has a daughter, or she doesn't?
No, she doesn't have any children. Okay. So Pasuk Dizvav continues. Vayomer kara lo. Baker love a tamad b'pasach. So he tells her, go call her. Right? He tells Gehazi, go call her. and he goes and he calls her. And this time she comes and approaches into the room. Slightly into the room. And the Bible points out that previously she was not standing inside the room. She was standing outside of the room because she didn't want to stand in the same room of the Navi in order to honor him. Because he noticed that he didn't want to speak to a woman directly. But this time, because he's giving her a nevuah, he's giving her a prophecy, she has to be present fully. And therefore, she has to be in the room. Because if she's not standing in the room, then the nevuah will not take place. We see that nevuah has a very specific way of working. Right? Like we found last time, when he promised the woman that she's going to have enough oil, right? She had to stand in the same place. She couldn't move, right? She had to continue pouring the vessel in a pouring not position. Stop. She couldn't change the position, right? So there's a few things that have to take place for the nevuah to occur. So we see over here another important detail is that she would be present inside the room with him in order for the nevuah to be completed. So what does he promise her? Pasuk design. He tells her, this time next year, you will be hugging a son. She immediately is alarmed and she says, please, do not promise something that will not
happen.
Not that will not happen, but that will not continue. Meaning, why was she suspicious? Why was she thinking that he would promise her something that wouldn't actually continue? Because what did he promise her? He said that this time, next year, you're going to be hugging a son. Right? He only promised her that she would be hugging a son. Not that he's actually going to live for long. Right? If he was promising her that he was going to live for long, then his wording would be different. It would be similar to the wording that the Malach told Sarah. What did he tell Sarah? Ka'es chaya was Sarah vain. This time next year, and Sarah had a son. It doesn't say Sarah was hugging a son. This time, Elisha promised her, you will be hugging a son. So that could also mean that you would be hugging a son, but he's not going to live for long. She would be hugging him this time next year, but doesn't mean that she's actually going to have a son that will live for long. And that's why she immediately tells him, "Al techazeb shivchasecha." Kazav is referring to something that doesn't apply for long, right? Like in Hebrew, you would say shekel v'chazav, right? Shekel means a lie. Kazav is something that is very short-lived, right? So it might seem like true now, but it's not going to last, right? So kazav is referring to something that is a very short-lived. So she's telling him, don't promise me something that will be very short-lived. If you promise me something, promise me that it will continue forever. So, sure enough, Pasuk is Zayin, right? It's interesting, because there's no record in the Pasuk of what Elisha answers her, right? It doesn't sound like he actually said anything. And we'll see that, in fact, the woman was right for worrying that the son will not live long, because that's in fact exactly what happened. So let's see, Pasuk good sign. V'tara isha v'tilad bein, right? She gets pregnant, she gives birth to a son. L'mayad azek ha'es chaya asher dibar elei Elisha, right? Sure enough, this time next year, she has a son. She has a child.
It says v'yegdel ha'yelad.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
He grew up.
He grew up to what age?
Right. So he was still a young boy.
How old was he when all this happened? So he had the kid. And it says he grew up. I mean, you can grow up. You can be grown up when you're 5, 6, 7, 8.
Till he didn't zag anymore. Till he wasn't nursing anymore. That could be.
Good question. I don't know.
No, that doesn't seem that way because
I don't know
the way it happens. It's later on. He complains. He's sick and everything else. So he wasn't a little baby.
Right.
Well, not a baby. Who's a baby?
Oh, but he was a young boy. He was a young boy. He's a young boy. So let's see. Pasuk says, "V'yigdal yelad v'yayoyim v'yetzal aviv v'lakoytrim." So he grows up. And the Malbim points out that the reason he died wasn't because he did not develop correctly. Right? Because really it says, V'yigdal yeld, meaning he grew up properly, like any other boy would grow up. Right? So it's not because he didn't develop like he was supposed to. Rather, it was for a different reason. See, it was one day, it was very hot, and he went out to his father while they were cutting the wheat. Vayomer l'aviv, right? He was helping his father, whatever he was doing. And he tells his father, Vayomer l'aviv, Roshi, Roshi.
Got a headache.
My head, my head. Vayomer l'nar, sa'eu elimoy. So, why does he say my head twice? First of all, to point out how strong the pain actually was. Right? It was really, really painful. It wasn't just, oh, I have a little headache. You know, it was like, oh, my head. Meaning it was really extremely, extremely painful. And secondly, the Balbin becomes a little bit of a doctor over here, and he says that there are situations where someone can have a headache because of some other part of his body is not doing well. Meaning both his head and some other part of his body is causing a headache. But over here he says that the cause for the headache was only in the head. That's why the child says, my head twice. Referring to the fact that the source of the pain was from the head alone and not from any other part of the body.
It looks as if this is exactly what happens when people have extremely heat from sun.
Yeah, it sounds like you got dehydrated. That's what it sounds like. Yeah. So the father tells one of his men, go bring him to his mother. Because he figured, okay, you know, he's a little kid, he wants to go to his mother. So he thought of an excuse of, oh, my head hurts, that's why I want to go to my mother. Right? The father didn't realize the severity of what was happening. So he picks him up, brings him to his mother. So he sits on her on her lap, right, the whole afternoon until he dies. Now, if you were the mother of this child, what would you do? Would you just, like, hold him on your lap until he died? Or would you rush him to the hospital? Go get a doctor? Right? Something. Doesn't sound like she's, like, she, what was she, like, an irresponsible mother? Why didn't she do anything? Or someone is clearly sick, and she's like, yeah, sit on my lap. Don't worry about it. Go away.
Yeah, mother holds, you know, a kid is sick. Yeah, yeah. The mother rocks him.
What could she do? Where was she?
She was at home.
So she's home. She near a hospital? Get a doctor?
Get a doctor, something.
Maybe she's out somewhere. They live out in the...
No, they're
in those times, they lived not close to each other.
Well, she was living in a town.
What could she have done?
She could have gone to a doctor.
What if there's no doctor around?
She was living in a town. She wasn't living in the middle of nowhere.
Called Sahala.
Oh, you're right. Arkady's right. There we go. We figured it out.
I didn't hear what?
You didn't have health insurance. That's why. There we go. That's the reason. So that's one pshat, Arkady's pshat. I like that. Another pshat is brought down by the Malbim. And he says that because the mother was so... she had such bitachon, she had such trust in the word of the Navi, and since the Navi promised her that she will have a son, and remember she confronted him, she challenged his promise, right? And it sounds like he assured her that she will have a son that will continue to live. Therefore, she had no worry whatsoever that he was going to live, right? The fact that the Navi promised her must mean that she didn't have to do anything. She had such strong trust. And she didn't lie him down in the bed even, right? Typically, at least you do. Okay, the person is really sick. You lie him down on a bed, right? You know, get him some hot face cloth. I don't know, something, some water, some tea, right? Nothing. And also, right, once he dies, she doesn't freak out. She doesn't start screaming and yelling, calling her husband. Nothing. Nothing. We're going to see in a minute. What does she do? Then she puts him down, she lies him down on the bed of the Navi, right? As if she's like putting him to bed, right? What's going on? Right? She's like, it seems like she's completely disconnected to what's actually going on with her son. But again, the Malbim says, because she had such trust in the Navi.
He promised her, so she figured, how else is he going to be alive?
Right, exactly.
It's because exactly. of what he told her. No, yeah. Over here he brings, he says to him, how I know it's going to happen and everything else. And she like you said, brother, you brought the thing that the Malachim told Mifka what's going to happen there. He says, the Malachim can be here next year. Not me. I'm human. I could be dead by next year.
Right.
Like, I can't tell you
if they
go over here.
Right. I got to say something. Like he said, without insurance, my mother was going to nursing school. And I was in my 20s already. My mother was going to nursing school. And she had to go to, they went up to Beverly someplace to work in a hospital with kids. Babies, you know, maternity, and a woman brought in a baby, and the baby was running out, very high fever. So the doctor asked her, you know, how long's the baby been running this high fever, like 105? He says, mm-hmm. About a few days. There's nothing I can, you know, the baby's brain is cooked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta go, when you're sick, you got to go to the hospital. Go to the doctor.
Yeah.
No. Well, we'll see. You know, we'll wait. Maybe it's nothing. Go.
Right. What ended up happening to the baby?
Huh?
What happened to the baby?
I presume the baby. You know, when you get a high fever like that for a long time.
Yeah.
affects your, you know, your mind.
Right.
You end up it's tragic, you know.
Yeah, it's very sad. Yeah, like you said, you gotta go right away, right? Especially when it's children, right? Children, you don't play any games, right? You gotta take care of it immediately. Anyway, right. And so another important thing is that the pasuk says, "Vayomlis," the kid actually died. It's not like he fainted or he lost consciousness to some degree. No, he's actually dead. Right? The neshama left his body. Right? He was gone. He's finished. So pasuk chafal continues, "V'tal v'tashkivel mitas isha elikim, v'tiskar ba'adlei v'teitzesh." So then, after she realized that he's actually dead, she does it again. She doesn't scream. She doesn't yell. She picks him up, lies him down on the bed of the Navi, and she closes the door. Right?
Closes the door and she
leaves. What does she do? V'tikrali, shalotoymer, shilchon ali echad min anarim, v'achas ha'asaynes, v'arutz adisha likim v'ashuva. Right? So she doesn't make a big fuss. She says, she tells her husband, yeah, you know, why don't you give me one of the donkeys, right? I'm taking one of the cars from the garage. We'll have to run a quick errand, go visit, you know, make a quick visit to the Navi. I'll be right back, right? As if, you know, she's like running out, you know, to do a quick errand, right? To drop something off at the mailbox or something, right? No big deal. Yeah, I'm just going to run over to him, and I'll be right back. And what does he say? Right, the husband is a little bit surprised. Vayomer, madua at hileches ala vayom, lechodesh v'lo Shabbos, v'toymer shalom. So he turns to her and he says, "Well, why are you going to him right now?" Right, typically back then the minhag was you go to a navi, right, on Rosh Chodesh or on Shabbos. Right, it says that when Beis Hamikdash Hashlishi, when the third Beis Hamikdash will be built, it says vayomer lechodesh b'chodshei, every single month, and with the Shabbos b'Shabbosai. Every single Shabbos, Yavai Chol Basar, Lishtachavis Lefanai Amar Hashem. Right, everyone will come to the Beis Hamikdash to be Mishtachavet, to do the Avodah, to bow down, to bring a korban, whatever it is. Right, so that was the practice back then as well. So they didn't have the Beis Hamikdash, so they went to the next closest thing, which was the Navi. Right, that was the custom those days. Nowadays as well, we don't have the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says, "Chayav Odom Lahagbo Pnei Rabbi Beregel." Right? Typically, we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, so we can't go to the Beis Hamikdash and Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, and the Regalim, Shlesha Regalim. So what do we do instead? We go to visit our Rebbe, whoever our Rebbe is. We go visit them on the Regel. Yes, on Maya there's a Chiyuv, there's a real obligation to do it on Yontif. But it was at least a custom, not necessarily a chiyuv, but it was at least a custom to go visit the Navi each week or each month. A minimum once a month, right? So he turns to her and she says, "Oh, it's not Shabbos, it's not the month, well, why are you going to him?" And she gives him no answer. She says, "Goodbye." Rather, they say in slang, "Bye," right? And they're off. Yeah, she doesn't say anything, right? That's what they say, right? That's the slang today. Pasuk of Dalet, Patach Vayishal Asayin. So she goes in and she prepares the Asayin, the donkey. The Tamer al Nara the Hagbalich al Tatzer li Lirkoiv Kiim Amarti Lecha. Right, so she tells the one of the boys that she's going with to lead the donkey. And she herself did not ride the donkey. Why? Because she was so bitter over the fact that her son had died. Even though she kept it to herself, but we see here, this is the first indication that she actually has some kind of emotion over the death of her son. Right, up until now, she shows no sign of any bitterness, any sorrow, any feeling whatsoever. This is the first time the fact that she refuses to walk is the first indication that she's actually bitter about it. So she tells him, walk the us, and if I get tired, then I'll start riding it. Otherwise, keep going. Right? Now, the Malbim also points out that the boy that was going with her must have been a young boy. Right? Otherwise, it would have been an issue of yichud. Right? Yichud is when, you know, you're walking together. When anytime, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be in a house or in a room. Right? It could be anything. Anytime you're in a private setting, even if you're out in the wild, out in the open, but if there's nobody around, right, for at least a minimum of 4 minutes, then they have an issue of yichud. So the fact that she was walking with this boy alone showed that he was obviously younger than 9. 9 years old is the cutoff, right? From 9 and older, then you have a problem of yichud. But under 9, there's no problem. So it must be that he was younger than 9, right?
After 9, is he not allowed to be a woman?
Yes.
Even before bar mitzvah?
Yes.
But he's a boy.
Doesn't matter. A boy is bar bia, meaning he's able body to be intimate with a woman from age 9.
It means it's not possible to invite a woman to kind of babysitter
no.
with a boy older than 9?
No.
Even tutorial?
Even what?
Even not teach something?
If they're by themselves, if they're alone, no.
No, but for example, some family wants to invite teacher.
Okay, if the family's there as well, then that's fine.
But if not family...
Yeah, if they're there by themselves, that would be a problem, yes. Or at least you have to have someone that's able to walk in, you know, at any given moment. Right, but if, like, you know, the parents are going away for, you know, for three, four hours, right, and there's, like, no one that's going to walk in, then that would be an issue of yichud.
Well, I never heard about 9, I usually about man and woman. But
the age is 9.
But it's only for boy. There's not question about how about man and girl.
Man and girl is even worse. A girl is a problem from the age of 3. Yeah. And you don't, I'm saying, well, in today's day and age, you have...
You go talk to the priest down the street and he'll tell you.
I'm saying, well, look at what's going on today. You know, you have stories today all the time where, you know...
But this is... typical situation.
You're saying today's not typical?
No, but 99% between a boy and a 9-year-old woman is nothing happened. I believe 99.99.
I wouldn't be so sure.
No, but what this is about, what I did not say 100.
I think the numbers are way lower than that.
Most of people are kind of normal.
Not today, Arkady. People are very messed up.
You look in the newspaper. Even the old ones that own football teams get themselves into trouble.
Well, something wrong. The premier never.
So the Pasuk Chafei continues, "Vatelech v'tova Elisha Elikim el Har HaKarmel." So she continues, and she goes, gets up to Har HaKarmel, which is where the Navi Elisha lives. "V'ikirois Yisha Elikim v'yisim menegat v'yim elgechaz yinaro yinah shunami salaz." So he recognizes her right away. And he says, he then turns to Gehazi and he says, "Oh, there are the tsunamis that we always eat by." So he tells her to run over to her and ask her, because obviously she's coming here for a reason, right? Because the Navi also recognized that she's not coming in the typical time. So obviously the fact she's visiting him is for a reason, right? he says, run over to her, right? It must be that she's missing something. Right, her husband or a child. Atav Elisha Elikim Alahar. Right, so she approaches each Elikim. Patachzik Baraglov, she grabs onto his leg to show that she's not going to let go until he answers her what she's asking. Right, until he gives her what she wants. Pegash Gehazi Lahotfa. Right, so Gehazi sees this and he's like, oh my goodness, how dare she? Right, grab onto the legs of the Navi. That's so inappropriate. It's so disrespectful. Right, the Navi turns to Gehazi and he says, don't touch her. Don't worry. He realizes right away Rashi's here, right? But he's still surprised because Hashem did not reveal to him what had happened, that the son was dead. Now, why would Hashem typically reveal to a Navi that he's about to inflict someone with a punishment? It's only when it comes as a punishment, right? Like we find with Sodom. Sodom, the city of Sodom, the country of Sodom, was destroyed.
Well, he wasn't supposed to do that without Hashem's sanction. He made a promise by himself. His promise that she's going to have a kid wasn't sanctioned by Hashem.
Yeah, but why would Hashem kill him?
It was his own idea.
True, but why would Hashem kill him?
That's what he says here. That's why now, and he punished them by not letting them know that the boy died. He didn't know.
No, it sounds like the Malbim that really there was nothing. The reason why he didn't know was because Hashem only lets the Navi know when it's a punishment, like Sodom. He's punishing Sodom. So it says, Avram Hashem says, I have to tell Avram that I'm about to destroy Sodom. Why? Because Hashem typically will want the Navi to daven for that city, or for that country, before he destroys them. But the fact that Hashem did not tell Elisha was indicating that this was not done as a punishment, rather for a different reason. That's why the Navi says, Hashem didn't tell me. Because clearly this is not a punishment. It was a punishment that Hashem would have told me, and I would have davened for it. But Hashem didn't tell me. Right? So the woman turns to the Navi and she says, I didn't ask you for a son. Right? Right? You were the one who approached me. You came to me and you promised me. And I told you, make sure that your promise will come true and will be long-lasting and not short-lived.
That's why she said to him, he told her, in a year you'll have a son to cuddle him or hold him and everything else, which means, that's it. After she does that, maybe he'll die and he won't have him anymore.
But she asked him, don't promise me something.
I want a son who.
Right, that's what she told him.
Not only did I be able to cuddle him when he's a baby, I want.
Right.
But it looks she blame him. He prefer not to have children, not to have boy. Instead to have boy lose.
No, not that she would prefer not to have children, but she's saying, listen, if you promise me, then promise it properly. Promise me that he'll live. Right? Don't promise me something that will be short-lived.
But it looks, it's better you don't promise me and I don't have children.
I don't know if that's what it means. I don't think she's saying, oh, just don't promise me anything. That's not what she's saying. Now, she's saying, promise me good.
She's not happy.
It's not that she's not happy. She's trying to get him, right? Because again, he came to her. It's not like she's trying to convince him. Not just she asked him for a bracha. He came to her and he promised her. And she says, okay, you want to promise me? All right, do it properly. Make sure he lives. Right? None of this half promises,
you know? This is kind of blame. You did not do what I asked you.
Yeah, I don't know if it's blame, but...
No, but she's not happy what he did.
right? Meaning she's basically repeating, she's going through the promise again. She's saying, yeah, it's not like, you know, I came over to you. Because sometimes, you know, when people like nag you for something, oh, you know, please do me a favor, right? Do me this favor, do me that favor, right? So what typically happens, right? Right? If they nag you enough, you'll say, okay, fine, you know, I'll give it to you. Just leave me alone already.
Don't bother me anymore.
Right? Right? But that wasn't the nature of his promise. Exactly, he came over, he approached her.
But if you read promise again, he did not say he have child to live for a long time. He promised only you can chance to hug the boy, what she did probably many times.
Right.
But it looks, this is, he boy died, it's kind of not a natural way, it's kind of Hashem.
Supernatural?
No, but why is it people died for a different reason.
So we're going to see later on, actually, why from, not necessarily from a physical sense, but we'll see that from a spiritual sense, this boy was not created in a complete way, in a spiritual sense. He only had the life force from his mother's side. He did not have a life force from his father's side. And that's why he was able to die so easily. We're going to see that later on. When the Navi, basically what he does, he resurrects the child, right? He resurrects him. He brings him back to life. Right, so we'll see from the way he brings him back. I don't think we're not going to have time for that today. But
I believe this is part of Haftarah.
But when the way he resurrected the boy, we'll see that he did it in a way where the boy now will be complete and he'll have life force both from the mother's side and from the father's side as well.
He recreated him.
Yes. In a way he recreated him. Okay, so let's just see one more pasuk. Pasuk haftes. Ve'emar ligeich ezichakor mavtecho. Take your belt. Ve'kach mishtanti bi'adecha v'leich. Ve'kitim tza'ish lo yitarechenu. Chivarech ha'ish lo yitanenu. Ve'samta mishtanti al p'nei hanar. So at first, the Navi thought that he didn't really die. He just lost consciousness. Right, so he thought, okay, for that, all you need is Gehazi. Gehazi can complete the mission without me. He doesn't need me. Right, just go ahead, take my staff, and put it over him, and that will bring him, you know, back to life. Right, because he's not really dead. He just lost consciousness. Right, now Elisha gave the staff to Gehazi, and he told him not to speak to anybody. Why? Because, again, for the nevuah to come true, he needs the staff to I guess the energy that he put into the staff, he needs it to continue, and if Gehazi will stop to talk to someone on the way, then the energy or the koyach that's in the staff will cease, will stop. That's what he told him, don't talk to anybody on the way. But that didn't work. Right? So let's see, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. V'gehechazi over lifneim, v'yasam esam yishenes hafnei anar, v'in kolamein koshev, v'yashav likros, v'yagod l'gneimar, l'heikitz anar. So Gehechazi tries this. He follows the instructions of Elisha down to the T. And he says no. Right, he didn't wake up. Didn't work. So clearly, at that point, Elisha understood that it's something a bit more serious than he thought of originally. And he realized that he has to go down himself and basically resurrect him. So next week, we'll see how that happened. That's a whole episode of how Elisha actually brought him back to life. There's a lot of things that he had to do. We're going to see every detail counts, right? Right, it seems a little funny to us. Oh, these like spirituality, you know, like what's the big deal? You know, just like, you know, wave your wand and boom, you know, the kid comes back to life, right? It's not like that, right? He has to put his hand on his hand, and another hand, like there's so many details, right? It seems very funny to us, but if you think about it, the same thing, right? Spirituality works the same way that physicality works, right? Technology, right? If you take a cell phone, right? Take apart your smartphone, right? And you have one wire that's not in place, boom, the whole cell phone is not going to work, right? Same thing with spirituality, right? If you have one thing that's not in place, not the way it's supposed to be, then the miracle is not going to take place. So we're going to see next week exactly how it happened, how it transpired, and how Elisha resurrected the son back to life.